We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
I've been spending the last 2 years thinking all Glee ever does was break and burn and end.
Oh, sad.
But on Wednesday, in a podcast,
ooh,
I watched a minisode again.
I love that song.
There it is. Thank you for another podcast, Marin, for suggesting that song. Everyone, I would love Wednesday song suggestions. I'm really looking to put in minimal effort, especially because I have minimal Wi-Fi.
Oh, this is what I wanted to talk to you about while we were off mic on our Patreon exclusive chat. And then I was like, no, I got to publicly apologize for this one.
What?
So, this last Wednesday, we had the 54 Below Sings Glee Night. I was fortunate enough to be able to participate and host that event with enemy of the podcast, Alex Allred. And afterwards, if anyone knows anything about me, they know that I don't love to go out. But everyone was like, Lena, come grab drinks with us. You know, I'm so popular. Every single person was like, Lena, come grab drinks. But it was mostly like, you should come. Like, are you going to beat us out for drinks? And I was like, oh, I don't really know. And then I was hanging out with enemy of the podcast, Alex, and his wife, Sammy. And they both were like, we're going to go get ice cream. You guys should go get drinks. Like, go, like, have a good time. And I was like, ah, fine, twist my arm, I'll go. You know, anytime Sammy tells me to do something, I'm like, ah, fine, I should. So I go, and I mostly just hang out with my roommate Caden the whole time in the corner. And it was like a piano bar, so people were like singing songs, and they started requesting Glee songs. And I had just two shots of tequila and a Corona, like truly, like not categorically not a ton of alcohol, but I was hammered. And I started posting on the Recovering Gleek account when they were doing did you see this at all?
No, I don't have internet.
Oh yeah, you don't.
I had no idea.
Ian's gonna be so mad at me. Well, I didn't really do a lot. I can honestly pull it up and show it to you right now. But like so Bohemian Rhapsody came on, like they started playing it. And I was like, this is everything to me. And I kept like recording myself singing and recording other people. Someone was James, the music director, was like holding up a picture of Quinn. But I've done that a couple of times where I've like posted drunk on the Recovering Gleek account, like when I was at the Lady Gaga concert. And I was like, I gotta stop this madness. I literally, like, we were on the train home, and I was asking Caden, I was like, I should take him down, right? Ian's gonna be so mad at me. And Caden was like, no, you'll be fine. But it was really fun. And then as soon as Bohemian Rhapsody ended, I was like, get me out of here. I was like, I've reached my hangout with people threshold.
Hanging out as adults, I'm being straight up.
It's so hard.
It's so awful.
It's so awful. It's so fun when you're a teenager or a young adult. Like, oh my gosh, you're like, oh my gosh, my friends.
It's so fun. Hear me out. When you got like a board game.
A structured like, activity. Yes.
I like a part of me really wants to not be square.
Yeah.
But I can't deny every time I try and not be a square, I'm with all these people. We're at like some bar someplace, which first of all, I don't drink. So like, why am I there?
Yeah.
But we're like at some bar someplace. I'm trying to like do the small talk thing. I'm trying to like have a good time. And then I'm like, does anyone have Parcheesi? Like, did anyone bring like Sorry, Clue? I would love to have an activity right now instead of just like awkward small talk in a dark, crowded, very loud room.
Yeah. Not so my vibe. Loud. It's always so loud. And that's my thing is like my sensory issues at a bar are like off the fucking charts. Mm-hmm. Like people like try and ask me a question and I'm like, I like literally can't even function in here. Do you want to take me out to a Denny's? Like I don't know how to speak to you.
I love a Denny's. I love a place that has like affordable food. That's what I'm looking for.
My ideal like get together is like a restaurant. Like let's get drinks at a restaurant with like good appetizers or like someplace I can sit down or like, I don't know, my house at a movie night. Like so I'm dating this new person, right? Mm-hmm. And this person is like their entire friend group loves going out. They love activities. They love like doing things and spending tons of fucking money. And two things I hate doing, spending money and also doing things where I'm like, oh, I think I'm just going to like read a book tonight. And I'm like super lame because I can't like go out to the bars every weekend. Like I can go like once a year and I've already reached my threshold for the year.
I like want to have friends so bad, but I swear every time I go with people to a bar, I spend 80% of my time there.
Yeah.
Wondering if it's an okay time for me to leave.
Yeah. Which like I don't love.
Is it impolite if I go home right now?
I know. Well, I told you that at the closing night party for Honky Tonk Angels, like we were at this bar that like truly was like the ideal bar where it was like kind of quiet. It was like a hometown bar. There wasn't a ton of people there. There was certainly no one there that I didn't like know by name. But like people were all chatting with each other and no one was chatting with me. And I hate like, you know, competing for other people's attention. Like if other people are going to talk to other people, I'm not going to like, you know, insert myself into where, you know, a conversation I'm not a part of. That's okay. So I like was like, I had like my Kindle and I was like reading on the other side of the bar. And my castmate, Amanda, she was like, get the fuck over here, you weirdo. And I was like, we weren't doing anything. And she's like, you weirdo. But like, especially at a bar, I'm like, I'm not going to like fight to be seen because I'll have a panic attack.
Yeah.
I think you would enjoy the one that we were at for 54 Sings Glee just because it was a piano bar and everyone like could like suggest their own songs. I truly though was only there for maybe 20 minutes.
You know what I think I'd enjoy more though? Like a Taco Bell.
Yeah, like the Taco Bell.
Like someone's living room with a movie playing.
Totally. You know what I would enjoy? My bed with a good book.
Oh my, couldn't have said it better myself.
Look at these fucking introverts, assholes.
Hello everyone, my name is Ian Allred, and my therapist challenged me this week to spend more nights hanging out with my cast members than I do in bed alone reading.
That's fun.
And I'm a Gleek.
Hey, what's up everyone? My name is Lena Knatzer, and honestly, my therapist didn't say a word about not reading in my bed, so that's how I'll be spending my night. And I'm a Gleek.
Let's talk about Love, Season 5, Episode 1.
Hell yeah. Well, let's kick things off with a message from our girl, that bitch, Kira Clem.
The subject line reads, from that bitch, Kira Clem.
She's 100% Kira says, that bitch.
100% that bitch, even when she's crying crazy. Kira says, Ian, I'm not sure if you've heard, but I've seen the revival of Sondheim's Into the Woods 3 times, and it's really, really freaking good. You should really see it sometime, but except that just kidding, you ditched me for a cruise. Have a nice life. Also, I'm rich. Bye. I love you, Lena. Sincerely, that bitch, Kira Clem. Sheer. P.S. Also, you claim that I had never seen a, quote, good production of Into the Woods, but that is not true. I saw my very own sister and fellow friend of the podcast, Ambry, perform it in high school. Maybe I did not grasp the intricacies of the story and beauty of the lyrics, but my 7-year-old heart could not handle watching those teenage boys sing agony. Better than Broadway, I dare say. Sorry, Gavin Creel.
I love this message. When Kira said, also, I'm rich, bye. I said, Kira, I want to be you when I grow up. You're my best friend. I love this girl. I love you, Kira.
She's an icon. She's a legend. She is the moment.
She is the moment.
Now, come on she now, Keira Clem.
Thanks for having such a good attitude about us calling you the B word a bunch. Love you. Also, have you heard the clips of Stephanie J. Block singing Justifies the Beans?
No.
Oh, I'll find it.
It's just going to make me sad.
Nope. You need to hear it. It'll revive you. Can you fucking believe that, bitch? Stephanie J. Block.
You know what I love about Stephanie J. Block?
What?
Before she was on Broadway, she was playing Natasha in the Rocky and Bullwinkle show at Universal Studios Hollywood.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. She was also
icon,
like Belle
legend.
At Disney World for a long
time.
She
was Belle at Disney World. She was Elphaba in the Wicked Workshop. And they said, actually, we're going to kick you out for the Broadway production. Bye, have fun in the ensemble.
Oh my gosh. Remember when we went to Disneyland and we listened to her episode of
Sentimental Man?
A Sentimental Man, thank you. I forget names. Sentimental Man. Ugh, I learned so much. I learned so much from Sentimental Man.
She's
the best. Love you, Stephanie J. Block. She is so smart and so cool.
When I hear stories of people who, when I hear stories of the Rachel Berrys of the world, who are like, I don't know, it was just all very serendipitous. I went to high school and I ditched class in college one day to go to a Broadway audition and I just booked it my first audition. I'm like, that's totally. So exciting for you. That also makes me burn with rage. When I hear stories from people like Stephanie J. Block, who are so talented and so incredible, who is like, I moved to New York and I auditioned for like 4 years and no one gave two craps about me. So then I moved to California and worked at Universal Studios for a bunch of years. And then I went and was hired for a show and they replaced me with someone more famous. And then finally, after that, I got my big break. That's the kind of stuff that I'm like, heck yeah, that's inspiring. Good for you.
And it is. It is. I love you, Stephanie J. Block. Everyone go listen to Sentimental Men, her episodes. I love her. Love you, Kira. Up next, we have a message from Rachel.
Hi, Alina and Ian. About the proposal. I don't know if this is a hot take or a warm take, but I've got mixed feelings about Bert's advice. I mean, for sure the scene was excellent, and every father-son moment between those two gives me all the feels. And as a parent, maybe I can see why Bert doesn't feel the need to tell Kurt what he told Blaine, because Kurt is expressing all the right concerns on his own. But you know what? I think I'd still want to tell my child that I originally recommended against it, especially because he is actually seeking my opinion. And especially because my answers to all his other questions are basically huge signs telling him to say yes. Unless I really wanted to sway him into getting engaged, and that's not Bert, and wouldn't that be wrong anyway, I'd at least want to give him some balanced thoughts on the subject. And I would definitely want to remind him that it is very, very okay to say no, or to in any way be not okay with his very public proposal. The thing is, the words a parent says to a child who respects their opinion hold a lot of power. And just because you say you have to decide for yourself doesn't mean that he isn't going to take what sounds like your obvious endorsement of a quick engagement very seriously. On the other hand, I've had plenty of parenting moments where I thought I gave my kids the right advice, then later realized I'd gotten it all or partly wrong, and had to go back and give advice that conflicted with my first points. And I've also had a few moments where my own excitement got in the way of my being as level-headed and parental as I should be. So I can imagine a scenario where Bert was initially totally against the engagement and then got thinking and changed his mind, thus giving a totally different perspective a week later. Or that he just got swept up in the grand gesture of it all. He is human after all. And as I said, every scene with Kurt and Bert is precious. So despite my critique of Bert, the acting totally sells me on it. I mean, who am I to judge the great Bert Hummel? Now, the actual proposal. Unexpected public proposals are a terrible idea. And this was about as coercive as you can get. Not to mention, you'd have to be delusional to think a guy who just barely agreed to date you would immediately agree to marry you. And, in fact, Blaine, King of Grand Gestures, is the cockiest, craziest, most ridiculous, and most delusional person there is. But in this fairy tale world, where my bitter little heart satisfies its craving of the so-called one true love, I let all of that go. I can't help but love cocky, delusional Blaine, and he had me at "He loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah." Actually, let's be real. I think he hypnotized me and Kurt at "Look into my eyes" at the beginning of the episode. Moving on for a second to Tina and Rachel. As one who generally feels like a Tina, I imagine I would probably react to that prom half-posal similarly to her, and then later that night, after processing the situation slowly, realize how embarrassing it was and feel rather crappy. And when I watch Rachel angsting over her super successful life, it's as though I am Tina. I can't help but think about how spoiled this girl is, who stole all the attention from me in high school, and now I'm supposed to feel sorry for her that her situation is only 97% fantastic. This is probably why I don't have a lot of love for many of the Rachel songs and plotlines. As an underdog type myself, I hate it when people who are actually on top try to convince me that they are underdogs. That said, Sad Rachel does sound beautiful, and this is one of my top 5 Rachel solos. By the way, thank you, Ian, for quoting the Bible verse about walking like a child. It made my morning because I was starting to say the same thing out loud alone in my car when you said it. Lena, I'm so proud of you for hosting the 54 Below event. I so wish I could have been there or watched it, but I am love, love, loving seeing the bits and pieces of it that are being posted now. Also, I think I'm going to appreciate your new schedule. It just hit me, because you said it, that this podcast won't go on forever. And I'm glad it's going to at least get stretched out a little longer this way. Please don't hurt me for the Burt critique. Love, love, love you guys. Weird Auntie Rachel. Rachel, we love, love, love you too.
We do. And honestly, I really appreciate this perspective. And I don't think I thought about the Burt stuff in this way. And I think I agree. I definitely see where all that could be like taken as an endorsement. And also, like, I feel like it's good for a parent to be like a sounding board to like offer up, like, this is what I was thinking then. If this is what you want to know, I'll tell you. Like, I think that's good. And like, Kurt could very much take that as an endorsement of maybe a decision that, you know, who knows if it's right, you know? So I appreciate this perspective a lot.
I'm with Rachel on. On paper, everything about this proposal, I'm like, bad idea, red flag, toxic, bad idea. Mm-hmm. And then I watch it unwind in real time and my heart goes a flutter and I'm like, you know what? These two crazy kids should go for it.
I know. I feel the same too, especially when it comes to public proposals. I think public proposals are like as evil as you can get. I don't think they're evil. Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, you've discussed before that like you both want to get married. It's just a matter of when is the official question happening.
Or if your partner, you know, your partner who you've discussed it with a lot has like expressed like an interest in like something like very public like that. I think like the good thing is to A, talk with marriage with your partner well before you're engaged, and B, like maybe like, you know, don't do it in public, especially if you haven't. But I like hate public proposals. I really think they are like really scary to me. But I can't help it. Every time I watch this, I'm like, oh my God, that was so sweet. I love it. I can't help it.
It's real nice.
It is real nice.
And Rachel, I'm glad that you're seeing the silver lining in our new release schedule. Knowing what we know now about my cruise situation, it's not possible for us to release more than one episode a week.
No, but it's not possible for us to speak more than once a week.
Like, this internet is fighting against us. But when I first got this contract and we were talking about options moving forward, we did discuss that we were like, no matter what the internet is like, do we want to go down to once a week? Just because I did the math and I was like, if we keep the schedule up, I'm going to spend like all of season 5 on this boat. Yeah. And then by the time I get back to New York, like we're going to be almost done with the show.
Yeah. And we want to spend some time together. We want to at least in my mind, I want to like celebrate and I want to like, you know, make the most of it. And we can't do that when you're in the middle of the ocean. I mean, we can celebrate as much as we can, but you know.
No, on the seven shares.
But Rachel, my weird auntie Rachel, thank you so much for this message. Thank you for your perspective. I really appreciate it. And thank you for appreciating our new schedule. I appreciate you. Up next, we have a message from Madeline.
Hey, besties. I'm writing in before your episode on Love, Love, Love comes out, but I had to share my thoughts. I do think that it is very special and lovely that Blaine proposes to Kurt during Beatles Week, since we know that he realized his feelings for Kurt when he performed Blackbird. Like many Glee episodes, there are things about this episode that make me cringe. Mainly the Kurt and Blaine teen marriage of it all, and of course the impending emotional whiplash of two very colorful and upbeat episodes preceding an episode that is devastating not only for fans, but for the cast mourning Cory Monteith. It is so tactless, it makes me sick. You know what else makes me feel sick? How much it cost to license 15 Beatles songs. Strap on a diaper, y'all are gonna shit. The 2019 film Yesterday had 17 Beatles songs, and it cost an estimated $10 million to get the rights. 8 of those songs were performed on Glee in this or the next episode. The song All You Need Is Love is performed in the 2015 finale of Mad Men and was rumored to have cost $250,000 to get the rights. While I couldn't find an exact dollar amount Glee spent, by season 5 their budget was up to $3.4 million per episode. I love you both so much. I've been listening to your podcast on repeat since March 2021, so it feels like you guys are my legal roommates who aren't on my lease. All my love, Madeline, she, her, Baltimore, Maryland. P.S. Santana has this throwaway joke at the Spotlight Diner that I thought was very clever. She tells Rachel not to tell the racist diner owner that she's, quote, black or Jewish. While I thought this joke was weird at first, I realize it's a reference to the fact that Rachel doesn't care which of her dads is her biological father, Jeff Goldblum, who is Jewish, or Brian Stokes Mitchell, who is black. I thought this was a fun callback to that joke from the pilot. Madeline, I didn't get that callback at all. I like that joke a lot better, having heard that.
Totally.
What's more bonkers to me than how much it costs to license Beatles music is that this deep in Glee's run in season 5, Fox is still giving them $3.4 million an episode. No one is watching this show anymore. It is like a max exodus of Glee viewers. And Fox is still pouring multiple millions of dollars every week into the show's budget.
I know.
They had a lot of faith in this thing. Oh, my word.
I know. Those numbers blow my mind. Not because I don't think, the Beatles music is worth that much, but, so late in the Glee game that they would be able to do this. It feels like quite ambitious for this max exodus. It feels like they kind of they would have missed their opportunity to do that, but I don't know. But I mean, if they have the budget, well, I have some info about who owns the Beatles music. Well, I don't, but our friend Mary does. Let's hear from Mary, shall we?
Heck yeah. Hi, Lena and Ian. Listening to y'all discuss why Glee hadn't done a Beatles tribute episode made me look into who owns the Beatles catalog that they probably had to go through to get approval to perform those songs, since this is a full Fox TV show and not some random church in Texas. I knew that at one point Michael Jackson owned their masters because my dad explained it to me about the same time Taylor Swift lost her masters to Scooter Braun.
Boo, hiss, boo.
And he was like, oh, basically that's what happened to Paul McCartney. Here's the E! News rundown of the situation. Michael Jackson was talking to Paul McCartney one day, and MJ said to Paul, basically I've stumbled into some wealth and would like to continue to build that wealth. What do you recommend to do that? Paul's back, owning masters is a super good way to build wealth. You should definitely do that. This is Chekhov's recommendation. The Beatles masters come up for sale, and Paul McCartney is like, hell yes, this is my chance to own my own work. Never been happier. Bidding for the masters begins, and final bids are in, and Michael freaking Jackson wins. Paul McCartney and him get back together, and he's like, babes, when I said buy masters, I didn't...
You gotta do it in a Liverpool accent.
I am absolutely will not. Go.
Come on!
You go.
That's
so you're talking to Barbara Streisand right now?
I can't. I don't have British Tony in me. You do. Come on.
Oh, how the tables. He's not from Liverpool.
Where's British Tony from?
He's from our London town. He's not from Liverpool. So Paul says, babes.
This like chimney sweep.
Yeah, he's Dick Van Dyke in Mary Poppins is who British Tony is. One of my favorite line reading ever is Dick Van Dyke pretending to be a Londoner saying, I know that silhouette anywhere.
Silhouette.
Silhouette. What is that? That's not a word in the English language. Silhouette. Wild. That man was drunk the whole filming of that movie.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Paul McCartney said in his best American accent that he was practicing at the time, babes, when I said my masters, I didn't mean mine. I meant like other people's. WTF? Michael says back to him, it felt like a good investment I couldn't pass up. So I did a little more research, and basically, to summarize the two articles I read on it, because I'm a professional, at some point, MJ went through some financial trouble, so he sold half of his shares in the company that owned the Beatles catalog to Sony, and then another quarter of the shares to Sony in future financial troubles, and then he dies in 2009. This would be the start of Glee. Then the ownership remainder of the shares in that company are in litigation for about 3 years until something happens and Sony is able to purchase them, which is about 2012. This is probably the ticket that let Fox be able to get the rights to cover the Beatles songs to finally be able to do the Beatles tribute episodes now in 2013. Hope that explains everything, kind of what I think happened. Again, I'm a professional, so this is definitely 100% fact. Love you, Mary, she, her. Mary of E! News, thank you so much for this rundown.
Yeah, oh my
honestly,
gosh.
Very eye-opening. Specifically, the whole, like, Michael Jackson dies and the shares are now in litigation and no one, like, really owns the Beatles music for that pocket of years. Yeah. So, like, it becomes much harder to do anything with them.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense to me as to why Glee didn't do a Beatles episode when they had more viewers.
Yeah, totally. That makes sense to me, too.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. I truly have never thought about, before the whole Taylor Swift thing went down, currently going down, but, you know, like, when I first heard about that, I had never thought about that kind of stuff before. Like, when you write music, you don't automatically own it. Like, you don't own the masters. You don't own, like, that. And that just, like, it blows my mind. And I'm hoping that, you know, Taylor Swift is making waves in the music industry to hopefully, like, make it maybe easier for artists to own their own work.
IP, like, IP law is so bonkers to me because I'm, like, just as a human being,
yeah.
If you have an idea, it should be your idea.
Right? That makes sense to me.
That it's like, sorry, actually, you made this idea where you worked for me, so it's now legally my idea.
Yeah.
And I realize that there are scenarios when IP law is necessary. You know, like when a project is the brainchild of multiple people, and so like who owns the project. I understand it. Like, it's not at its core unethical, but you know, we got people writing songs themselves, and someone who had no involvement in the songwriting process is like, cool, thanks for the song.
They said mine. It doesn't
That's yeah, crazy
it doesn't make
to
any
me.
Sense to me. I also understand, like, especially when it comes to, like, you know, like, I think of it in, like, maybe Shark Tank laws. Like, I don't know, Shark Tank doesn't have laws, but, like, you bring your idea to Shark Tank, someone, like, finances your idea, they own a part of your company if that's in the deal. And I understand that, but it also like still doesn't like make sense to me, you know, like
intellectual property is just such a complicated topic.
Yeah,
because it's not like a piece of land, it's not like a tangible object.
I know,
it's just like brainwaves, and like who has the right to this brainwave? Like if I tell you something and then the thing I tell you inspires you to have an idea, it's like, well, do I own part of it because I told you the thing that made you have the idea?
Yeah.
Or do you own all of it because it was your idea? This is why I'm not a lawyer.
Yeah. Hey.
This is why I'm not a lawyer.
Hey.
Shoot.
Mary, thank you so much for this. This was very an interesting thing I didn't even know. So thank you for sharing it. I appreciate it. And you are a professional, so I'm taking it as 100% fact. Up next, we have a message from Cookie.
Hi, Lena and Ian. I'm a huge fan, but I haven't been listening as regularly anymore until today when I just felt compelled to listen to the recap of Love, Love, Love. I was hoping y'all would mention the Diana Agron snub in the group photo, and I was really glad that y'all brought it up. Following the events of June 2020 and then Naya Rivera's death in July, I came back into my Gleek phase like never before. It was also around this time that the Dumois started getting popular. But before them, there was another blind item website known as Crazy Days and Nights from this entertainment lawyer known as Enty. Total sidebar, but he's apparently close with Amanda Bynes and was at the forefront of calling out Dan Schneider and Nickelodeon. Since this was right smack dab in the middle of the pandemic, I subscribed to his Patreon and noticed he had an episode all about Lea Michele, and I obviously had to give that a listen. I tend to take all blind items with a huge grain of salt because 95% of the time, they're super fabricated. But at the same time, I do believe that the root of whatever it's saying probably has some truth in it. So going back to the Lea Michele of it all, I took notes. Basically, Enty had gotten some scoop that apparently before Lea and Corey got together, he and Diana used to hook up. And then when he and Lea finally got together, he would sometimes say Diana's name on accident when they were hooking up, and that's why she doesn't like Diana Agron anymore. Like I said, I don't totally think that part's true, but I definitely think the Corey and Diana hooking up thing is plausible. I don't remember if he mentioned it, but I do know that apparently Lea helped Ryan, Ian, and Brennan with the script for The Quarterback, and I think apparently she didn't want Diana there. I'm definitely not trying to be disrespectful or anything of Corey or his relationship with Lea, but I just thought I'd share. Best, Cookie.
This blew my mind.
Having read, not all of, but I would say probably like 60-70% of Naya Rivera's book, Sorry Not Sorry. It is... I am near certain that Corey and Diana were hooking up.
I'm 100% certain. I'm 100% certain.
The way she speaks about that cast, yeah, like they were rabbits. Everyone was hooking up with everyone. So yeah. I am sure. I don't know if they ever became like an item. Who knows? But I'm sure that there was some sexual entanglement between those two at some point. Now... did that have anything to do with Lea Michele not liking Diana? Did Lea Michele not like Diana? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it could possibly be true.
Yeah. I don't know. I do think. I don't know. It makes me so sad that like Diana wasn't like a part of any of this, and that especially that she was cut out of, well, especially that she wasn't a part of The Quarterback, and especially that she was cut out of this picture, and it's like they're like pushing her out of the show, and if it is this, I feel very sad about that. I don't know how true it is. I love a blind item. I famously am obsessed with blind items. Just kidding, I'm not famously anything, but I really love blind items. So I don't know. But it's interesting, and it's interesting to think about.
Blind items make me uncomfortable because obviously every human being has that like innate need to like know gossip and know drama in us. And so I totally understand like reading them and being like, wow, this is so interesting. But also like a blind item is anonymous and anyone can say literally anything about anyone. And Cookie is not doing this. Cookie uses a lot of discretion in this email and about being like, I don't think that that part's true. And I just think this is an interesting thing to think about. But I have met people who just like take everything said in blind items as like God's honest truth.
Yeah, totally.
So.
I get that.
I don't know.
Grain of salt. Grain of salt.
I truly, unless Diana Agron writes a tell-all book, I don't think we will ever know.
Yeah.
What happened behind the scenes, but there are enough suspicious activities that I think I at least can confidently say that there was tension between Diana Agron and the higher ups, like stuff that Ryan Murphy has said about like how Diana ruined the character for him, stuff he said about like when someone was like, why isn't Quinn on the show anymore? Where he's like, well, Quinn's growing up and she's going to college. Don't you want Quinn to be happy? Just like mm-hmm. stuff like that. Her missing the quarterback is very suspicious to me. Her being cropped mm-hmm. out of this group photo. So I do feel like there was some stuff going on.
Yeah.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah. I don't know. And that's, you're so right. Until someone says something, all we have is like blind items and, you know, gossip.
Mm-hmm.
But Cookie, I love this email. Thank you so much for sending it. Up next, we have a message from Grace.
Hi, Ian and Lena. I was going to save these facts for later, but since I'm sad about the injustice Quinn and Diana continue to face, I'm sending them in now. They're literally just Glee Wiki facts that make me happy. That's all. I just started undergrad, so I have no brain power left to make a coherent statement, so here they are. Diana was considered the best-dressed Glee cast member by Naya Rivera. She was considered sweetest among the cast by Amber Riley, Jenna Ushkowitz, Kevin McHale, and Naya Rivera. She is considered an angel and to be the most adventurous, according to Darren Criss. She has the best laugh, according to Vanessa Lenges. She's considered the most gullible by Jenna Ushkowitz. Grant Gustin and Brad Ellis think that Diana is perfect. R.I.P. Barry Allen. According to Robert Ulrich, the casting director for Glee, Diana Agron is a serious triple threat. She visited two psychics, and both readings revealed a person called Charlie, which was attributed to being her name in a past life. She has since adopted it as a nickname.
Big shout out to Charlie. I loved learning about Charlie.
Big shout out to Charlie. What is the episode where we see Quinn's locker and she has a sticker in it that says Charlie?
I don't remember. But craziness. I remember reading about it and being like, this girl is a silly goose. And I love that about her.
She and Brad Falchuk are the ones who drew Puck's clown pig that he gave to Beth in I Am Unicorn. She wrote co-star Chris Colfer's paragraph for Time's 100 Inspirational People list.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Comedian Amy Schumer stated publicly in April 2015 that she thinks Diana is like an angel and, quote, the most gorgeous girl ever during an interview on The Ellen DeGeneres Show. She finds calmness at beaches and cemeteries. She has an affinity for dark motifs, including pirates, skulls, and witchcraft. Anyways, I hope you guys are doing well, and Ian, maybe you should invest in some snacks that aren't candy. Here's some consensual forehead kisses if you accept. Grace, she, her. I love all this stuff about, like, Diana is an angel. She's the sweetest girl ever. She's so gorgeous. Also, she's into witchcraft. She loves cemeteries, and she believes that in a past life her name is Charlie. Like, that's just so fascinating.
I feel like that's relatable. You know what I mean?
It's incredible.
Like, all the super nice girls I know love cemeteries. I love that. And I love these two. And, you know, I think, like, we'll never know what happened with Diana Agron on set. But, like, I think I like hearing the good stuff about her. And I hope, I'm glad that she has,
By all intents and purposes, most of the cast has only lovely things to say about her.
Oh, completely.
From everything that I've read, everything that I've heard, it's just that she and the head writers don't tend to speak very much. Mm-hmm. And she and one of the leads of this show don't really talk to or about each other. And mm-hmm. there is some suspicions that, like, there's drama right. there. But, like, right. you listen to... And she has kind of, like, distanced herself from the show. Like, she doesn't really ever talk about mm-hmm. her experience on Glee.
Oh, yeah.
But it seems like she and, you know, like, Jenna and Kevin and Amber and Naya and, like, all of them got along great.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Probably still have a good relationship. I don't know. I don't know these people in real life.
Yeah.
So...
I've never met them.
I hope she is, like, you know, glad that the show happened.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I love her for it. I love Diana Agron. All right. Well, that's your mini-sode, you all.
We got to do relative pitch, baby. All right, let me get these
songs
up. We got to do
relative pitch. All right, get those songs up.
In this episode are Yesterday, Drive My Car, Gotta Get You Into My Life,
This is Ian from the future. At this moment, my mic disconnected without me realizing it, so my audio for the rest of the episode is a little bit whack. Sorry about that. Also, that song that got cut off was You've Got to Hide Your Love Away.
Help, A Hard Day's Night, I Saw Her Standing There, and All You Need Is Love.
Okay.
Let's have me go first so that it coincides with the Galacts. Yes. Great.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. I would like you to sing Drive My Car.
Oh, great. Baby, I can drive my car. Is that what I think it is? I'm going to say that. I think that's too high, but we're going with that. Baby, you can drive my car. Yes, I'm going to be a star. Baby, you can drive my car. And maybe I'll love you. So that was an F sharp to an A, to an F sharp to a D, to like an F sharp to an F, something like that.
All right.
Those notes are in there. Oh my gosh, that's the right key!
I'm so proud of you! Yay!
Okay.
Best day ever.
You should sing Yesterday because that song is so beautiful. Did you know it's the most professionally recorded song of all time?
I didn't. Okay. I think it's the problem with those songs that are transposed into other keys, and I know them in a different key better, and I'm like, what does Rachel Berry sound like though?
I think my mic disconnected at some point recently.
Okay.
So we're almost done, but like I apologize for how bad my sound quality just got, everyone listening. Continue, sorry.
Well, I think it's Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly, I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yeah.
So you said that, oh, I believe in yesterday. B flat, A flat, C to B flat. It's I believe.
Oh, I believe in yesterday.
That's a half step above where you were.
Dang it!
You're half step flat.
Heck. Well, one of us is a winner. And you know what? Hell yeah.
Tables have turned.
I'll have a turntables. Well, hell yeah. That's your episode. That's your minisode on Love, 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 y'all. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your week, and we'll see you here next Wednesday for the next iteration of our Beatles Week. We're doing Beatles Week for a month, y'all. Party, party.
Let's keep chatting. Team Sky with Diamonds, baby.
We'll see you then. Here is a mini kiss on your mini forehead, if you accept it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.